This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Oh, dear listeners, you're in for a treat today.
Oh, dear Lord. Highly anticipated guest.
Since like day one.
Overdue.
Really?
This is someone we have championed from day one.
Big fans.
From before we had a podcast. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to speak out of turn here, but this guest is like part of the reason we have a podcast.
I would say so, sure.
Because this person's porn is like changing the game and is like what we strive to. Okay, anyway, let's make her even more uncomfortable. Rachel, read that bio and we'll get into it.
Vex Ashley is a porn performer, director, producer, and all-around naked-on-the-internet person heading up the creative pornography project Four Chambers, which aims to make films that expand the potential of what porn can do, say, and be. Vex, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for gracing us. We're just not going to let you talk. We're just going to talk about you.
Don't. I mean, that's my perfect podcast. Thank you. No, thank you so much for that incredibly flattering introduction.
My God, are you kidding? We'll do it all day.
It's just honest. If anything, we're going to hold back for the next hour. Yeah.
Right. Vex, first of all, how are you? Where are you in the world?
So I'm here in Grey, Britain, where I am, locked in my house with my cats, doing what everyone else has been doing during the pandemic, which is,
totally,
you know, working too much, probably watching too much porn, and yeah, generally not living the like fun and exciting outside life that I'd like to be.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, this brings up a great question to kick things off. Because what's funny is that we bring a lot of porn stars and porn creators on here, and you'd be surprised how many folks don't actually watch porn or like porn. Do you indulge, or is it a job for you, or where do you land on that spectrum?
Yeah.
So I think that I have always been fascinated by porn and by sex, but it was ever since I started doing it professionally, like a day-to-day kind of thing, I have to say it really takes the kind of taboo, like naughty factor out of it.
It's
it's 100% the, the thing on Friends where they ask the gynecologist is like, if I have to see one more.
Another cup of coffee.
Yeah. It's like, I still love it and I'm still fascinated by it. And I still, I still find it really captivating, but what I don't have is that kind of like naughty, like, oh, this is like a little treat just for me kind of thing, which I think is kind of a really big part of the fun of it. Like for me, often like the same kind of thing that I get from porn, I actually find like written porn, like the porn that I kind of grew up on was like, did you ever go on literotica.com?
Oh, sure.
Or anything like
still
that?
Still do. That, yeah. Yeah, that didn't end. Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, I guess because that's that, like, it takes away the, like, visual element and, like, you know, I don't know anyone involved. And it kind of allows me to, like, kind of get into it from an imaginative point of view. I guess maybe it's more to do with that. But, yeah, like, having all of your social media feeds just kind of, like, chocker with, like, porn makes it a little bit more of, like, a kind of humdrum.
Yeah.
Day-to-day existence.
Yeah, when it becomes professional, there's a certain level of tedium that you just can't fend off. I mean, you just nailed it by saying that, like, the naughtiness is gone. Like, porn used to be something that I'd be like, ooh, I'm a little toasty and like,
you know what I'm going to do
maybe
tonight.
I'm going to like get a little high and like surf the web and like find a little treat. And now I'm like, where do I go to find something that's like novelty and where I'm not like watch. And like the other thing is the production element. Like you said, like written erotica can be fun because you're not watching, I'm sure, the lighting, the actors, you know, the production elements going like, oh, interesting edit there.
Right. Or like the black leather couch, you know, like, I don't want to see it anymore.
And I mean, I'm sure like in lots of capacities, like lots of other people, I'm sure that if you've had other porn performers on, I actually love amateur porn. Like I love like a grainy cell phone video. Like I want to see like, you know, some bad lighting and some like, you know, like
intimacy.
Yeah. Intimacy.
Believability too. Like it almost brings back the naughty factor that like, ooh, we're watching something that feels voyeuristic. Almost.
Yeah. I shouldn't be watching. This is someone's private time. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That like privacy thing. And I think often when something has really high production values, it kind of, unless you're, as long as you buy into those production values and you feel kind of like swept up in them, that's one thing. But sometimes a really, for me, like a really high production value, it makes me feel like it's like, I think I call it like speedboat porn or like capitalism porn, where it's just like, oh, this feels like a perfume advert. Like, I don't,
totally.
It's not hot. Like, where's the grit? Where's the dirty? Like, I feel like a lot of the time it's kind of stripped out by having it being really kind of like,
clean.
Clean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not for me.
Yeah. It's too sterile. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, just to, you know, blow up your spot. Like that's actually a lot of what we love about your work is like, you know, that it like, it's gritty. It's like, it feels like it has texture and almost a messiness to it, but it's obviously produced. So we get that marriage
both.
Of like, we really feel like the performers are safe and like my brain that likes an aesthetic and that likes, like, I think on your website, I don't even know if you still say this, but I've quoted you as saying art school bullshit all the time about your work. I love that. Cause like as theater people, as art people, we do look for that aesthetic. We do want to critique the work at that level. Like we're inclined towards that. And some of the work just isn't asking for that.
Yes.
But to see something that achieves an aesthetic that's gritty, but intentional, but still like we can get swept up in. Like it's a testament to a great porn that we can be turned on. And like this other part of my brain, that's like, what is it doing? You know, like what is the statement here?
We want layers to our porn. Give me layers.
I love layers. I think it's like, I was always interested in this idea that like, some porn is a bit more functional. Like it's like some porn is a kind of porn that you want to kind of like use to masturbate to. And I was always interested in the idea that like porn could do lots of different things. It didn't just have to be like a functional product.
Right.
And so like the kind of stuff that I was interested in making, I was like, I kind of want to try and capture the like visceral, like bodily sensation of fucking and being turned on rather than just like necessarily kind of like giving that instant gratification kind of thing.
That's so true. I actually like wrote when we were out, and we'll talk about later specifically in the video, but like porn at its best is like a visual representation of like a physical sensation. And that is the strongest in Four Chambers. Like I don't see it anymore because it's like there's just such a strong, like, it's close-ups and like intimate body parts. It's not just like a meat shot of like you know, like penetration. It's like we see like hands on skin, we see lube on skin, it's just like nipples, everything, goosebumps. It's like you do it so well. So
it's the visceral abstracted so often. And that is actually how experiencing sex more often is. Like when you're fucking, you're not like looking at just the penetration or you're not like watching yourself from wide. Yeah. And you're like experiencing someone's like neck or shoulder or like their pubic hair, or like whatever the case may be. And it can all sort of be, it can wash over you in a way. So
the way that I was interested in using the camera though, because like, you know, I'm not trained as like a filmmaker or anything like that, but like I
could
felt
have
like
us.
Thank you. I mean, please don't go too far back on my website because I've made a promise to myself that I would keep all of the like films that we made when we were first starting out, because I really love seeing other people's like workings out, like the learning process of it. But like,
absolutely.
Oh my god, I have to ban myself from going like less than halfway because it's just that thing of like, oh, I just can't watch it. I am really like, it's that thing where it's like, I didn't have like really expensive equipment. I didn't have you know, loads of training. I didn't come from a background in like formal training with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it goes to show that you kind of can like learn to do that kind of stuff and create like a visual language and stuff.
Yeah.
The kind of the camera work being really close was kind of about this idea that like, yeah, when you're fucking, like if the camera is almost like a third pair of eyes between the sex that, you know, when you're fucking, you're going to be close, like, and it's going to feel like you're part of the action rather than this like abstracted like middle distance where it's like, ah, yes, I'm sitting far away and observing this from afar.
Totally.
Can you talk a little bit about your journey into porn creation, like how you found your way at the helm of Four Chambers? What did that look like?
Yeah. So, I was at university. I was doing art at university, and I was working kind of like this like minimum wage retail job and experimenting with doing like bits of kind of online sex work on the side that, primarily kind of included like bits of like alt porn, kind of suicide girlsy stuff, and also webcamming. Mm-hmm. And through that, I kind of met all of these people who had Tumblrs.
Tumblr.
Yeah.
It was really that site that, you know, for the first time, I kind of, you know, you saw porn being curated in the same way that, you know, your memes were being curated or your kind of intimate journal posts or these like aesthetic kind of images. It was like porn that you liked sat right next to those things. And it kind of made me think about the ways in which porn, you know, could be conceptual or aesthetic, or, you know, it had all of this potential that I didn't really feel like was being massively explored in the content that I was like easily finding. And, you know, because I'm like a pretentious art school wanker, I was like, maybe I could do something that, you know, expanded the creative potential of it. Like, could I put like ideas into porn in the same way that I was making artwork? So I just started kind of really taking the money and the kind of community that I was building through other forms of sex work and just experimenting really and like making these kind of experimental, you know, now very embarrassingly naive short films that I was just kind of posting on Tumblr and just seeing what the reaction was. You know, and really the response that we got from people was kind of more than I could have ever imagined. And it just really snowballed from there. Like, I was going to leave university and become a teacher. And I was just having so much fun, and it just felt like, you know, really treading this like untrodden ground, basically. And now probably almost like 8-9 years later, you know, it's been mostly my full-time income for all of that time now.
Wow.
There just isn't a space like Tumblr anymore where you can kind of like experience porn in conjunction with like other forms of our existence, like our kind of human experience. Like, everything feels like it's so separate and so othered, which is why, like, not to be nice about you guys for a second, but like, it's why it's really important that we have spaces to like kind of celebrate porn and critique porn and kind of share the stuff that we think is good, because the other spaces online for that are just so limited now. Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
Thank you. We are doing the Lord's work here.
Watching endless hours of porn.
Just watching porn for the people.
I love it.
It is genuinely, I mean, worth touching on. It is genuinely, like, we get censored online. We just redid our logo to make it more palatable to advertisers so that we can keep just like bringing in our little scraps to keep this going. Like, this is not a full-time thing for us. This is still a passion project. So, but nice. Thank you. Thank you for the acknowledgement. Yeah. It's nice to be, you know, like, supportive of the community. It just like means a lot to us. We feel like weird outsiders that are like, you guys are cool. Like, you guys are doing cool stuff.
When we started this, we were like, we aren't sex workers ourselves. You know, like, we, you know, we obviously respect and think sex workers are like the bravest people in the world. But, you know, we were kind of worried, like, when we started this, like, are people going to be like, who are these theater nerds talking about porn? You know?
I mean, so my background is that I was actually like a young theater, like, kid, essentially. You would be surprised at how many theater kids there are in sex work and in porn. The skills translate.
I think that makes sense. That tracks.
We're all just exhibitionists, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we want to be watched. I want people to want me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have any, this is just out of my own curiosity, do you have any, like, mm-hmm. dream scene partners?
Ooh.
Are they all in rotation already?
Well, no, because actually, I mean, I am very choosy about who we shoot films with. And because of the pandemic and because of everything like that, you know, and also I've been trying to spend a little less time, you know, constantly on social media. So I actually feel like it's harder and harder to kind of find people, as much as it feels like there's been a bit of an explosion of people making porn. I think there's less people making porn outside of, like, OnlyFans DIY kind of stuff. So it can be a little difficult to kind of find people. But tying into what we're talking about today is that actually one of the people who I think would be great would be the actor Robert Pattinson, who
he keeps teasing.
He's said a couple of times in interviews, you know, that he's going to he wants to make art porn specifically, and I was like,
hello. Oh,
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready, my door is open.
Well, he definitely listens to this podcast, so he'll hear it.
We'll shoot him a note.
Yeah.
Who better to, like, mentor him into the porn space? Oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
That would break the internet.
100%.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Well, if I can help, I'll try. I don't have those connections, but it's in the back of my mind, you know?
I'm just going to keep sending my, like, smoke signals into the ether and hope that gets picked up.
Yeah. Someone who has hung out with him once is listening to this. Just shoot him a text. Tell him to listen to the episode.
Right. Come on. Look up Four Chambers. Come on. Amazing. So I guess we should talk a little bit about the topic.
I guess so.
Absolutely. This was actually suggested by Vex. We're talking about sci-fi, which is really fun because we've talked about aliens before and we love that episode. It was a crazy app.
One of my faves.
I know. And now we're going to talk about specifically sci-fi. Are you a sci-fi fan yourself, Vex?
Yeah, so I really am, but I think I'm maybe less of a fan of, like I'm not into, you know, like, I don't like Star Wars or Star Trek or any of that stuff that's kind of more traditionally, like, space themed.
Sure.
Like, the sci-fi that I really like is stuff that's like, it's the world as you know it, but it's the future and everything is bad.
Oh, sure.
So I feel like the thing that's kind of interesting or, like, kind of captivating about sci-fi is this idea of, like, looking into the unknown and, like, imagining what could happen kind of in the, like, the void of, like, undiscovered space or kind of, you know, human interaction, kind of, like, you know, dystopia, that kind of thing. All of that stuff is, like, really fascinating, especially kind of in our current climate of feeling very much like we are
headed for destruction, dystopia, all those things.
Exactly.
I'm a new Octavia Butler fan. I got late to that game. My friend turned me on to her last year, which I can't say that, like, 2020 was the best year to, like, dip into the Parable of the Sower series, because I was like, this is absolutely going to happen. And it, like, takes place 4 years from now. It's so fucking prescient, her work. But I assume that you, since you basically said, like, futurism, that she's got to be on your list. Yeah. Like,
absolutely. And also a writer that, like, totally deals with, like, the visceral, like, kind of dirtiness of sex that we were talking about. Like, such amazing writing on that. And I really feel like, yeah, in terms of sci-fi stuff, you know, for me, like, I don't care about, like, a clean, polished, sterile spaceship. Like, I like the kind of gritty underbelly of it, I guess.
Yeah. Mad Max porn.
Yeah.
It's also kind of interesting because sex and science fiction are a little, like, interwoven, or I guess, like sexual themes are so strong in sci-fi writing, and sci-fi has kind of been, like, a little bit of a tool for writers to use sex in a way that, like, to explore things that would normally be in, like, taboo if they were just going to write about sex in, like, you know, a regular fiction novel. They can get away with, like, you know, the mass enslaving of women as, like, sexual subjects. Because it's sci-fi. It's another world. It's another planet.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating to me, too.
That's a debate, too. And I'm not the person to speak to this. Maybe you know more about it, Vex, that, like, there is a sort of controversy around whether it's still hard sci-fi or whether the purists, like, include sexualized sci-fi or sci-fi that has scenes of sex in it as hard sci-fi, or whether like there's a purity of like, it's not sci-fi if it's got sex, which I'm like, I think that's like the most necessary like element of it. Like, I actually haven't watched The Leftovers, so this is a funny thing to refer to, but
oh, interesting.
It was described to me and I was like, holy shit, that's brilliant, that there was like a scene where to like living in this strange sort of dystopian reality that feels very close, like you were saying, Vex, to like what our world is, what could be, like a scene between two characters just going about their like pedestrian life, having just like normal dialogue, and behind them there's just two people fucking like just people out of the street fucking. And that just struck me, that I was like, yeah, like if shit went down in a real way, there would just be people out in the streets like fucking against a garbage can or a burning brick wall, whatever the fuck. Like, if you're going to let go of like the fabric of society, of course that's the first thing that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But that also bums me out, because then that makes it seem like sex is like, you know, it equals like the fall of society. You know?
Well,
that makes me sad.
That's a different one. But I think, Rachel, what it is like, I think you would love this type, because it's not that sex equals the fall of society. It's the fall of the like stigma.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, and the
polite society.
Right. The way that we're like, sex is only allowed to happen under certain circumstances.
Sure.
Behind closed doors, XYZ. Like, I think you would thrive in a time when exhibitionist sex is just commonplace.
Like, the conservatives out there are going to be like, well, it can only happen if the world ends, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the only time we can just be talking about sex.
I think the thing with sci-fi is that essentially what it does is it kind of allows your imagination to like play out all of these different scenarios that seem like either, you know, too scary or, you know, too strange or impossible, and like allows your mind to kind of like think like, well, what would happen if, you know, to society, like what would come of that? And I feel like often like fantasy with regards to sex and porn often does that too, which is like porn kind of allows you to like try on or like work out like different realities, like what would happen if I was into that, or like what would happen if I was in that scenario, or like what would happen if, you know, if this happened. So I feel like the kind of they're almost like two halves of the same coin, which is essentially like playing out all of the like darkest, weirdest stuff that, you know, can't happen in our day-to-day reality, or maybe, you know, is unlikely to happen, but it allows like your imagination to like play with those things.
It's the fantasy element. It's the permission to be like, maybe I do want to slide around in goo and
get filled, you know?
Yeah. I definitely would like to do those things, and actually have done those things.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Oh, love it.
That's kind of funny that you said that there's an argument that like if there's sex in it, it's not science fiction, because the first ever like science fiction story, it was like from 120 CE, a Greek language tale, and there is like sex in it. It's an all-male society that reproduces male children only by giving birth from the thigh.
Ooh, lovely.
Or growing a child from a plant produced by planting the left testicle in the moon's soil.
Wow.
I know.
I would like to read that science fiction novel. Yeah, like, right? That.
Yeah.
Curious.
Greek language tale.
I mean, so. I think it's just it goes back to everything we're talking about. It's polite society being like, let's draw lines around things to keep this like supposed purity around the thing that's mine and I want to control.
Right. You know? It also kind of started to reflect, I think, like what was happening in society, like before the like I found this research saying like prior to the 60s, there wasn't really a lot of explicit sexuality in sci-fi, because the target audience was for younger people. And then as the target audience started to grow, and then in the 60s with like, you know, all the sexual revolution and everything, then we saw more sex inside science fiction and like, you know, paperback and like pulp genre.
It really feels like it's kind of almost going the other way again now, which is that like, you know, it feels like now we're seeing like less and less explorations of like sex, especially in like films that I would consider to be more like mainstreamy, Hollywoody kind of sci-fi films.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's rare that you see like a really good sex scene anymore. It feels like all of that is sanitized, because the ideal audience for like all of these kind of like people hitting each other with rocks in space or whatever is like 12-year-olds.
Right.
So we want to kind of like make it as like clean and family friendly and sanitized as possible, which like strips it of so much of its kind of human heart, I think. Like sex is such an important kind of part of our experience. And when we sideline it like that, all it means is it just kind of feels like something's missing a little bit, like the sexual dynamic.
Yeah, there's no horniness in the Avengers, you know?
And like all those tight suits and very little
horniness. It's unreal, you know? Yeah. Like out of everything, like you're not going to there's no hint, there's nothing's moving. It's so, you know.
Yeah, everybody's trying to make the four quadrant thing, so it's really toning everything down. Yeah,
like the stuff that I would consider to be like sci-fi and to be kind of also like deeply infused with sex is often kind of, not anything necessarily to do with like a big franchise kind of thing.
No.
It's like, have you seen the film Under the Skin?
Oh, yeah.
No.
With Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. You should watch it.
I gotta see
it. It's really weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love
and it's
that.
Just that thing of it being like, it's very kind of like, the stories of a very kind of, like relatively obscure kind of narrative, but it's just like so deeply infused with like kind of creeping sexuality. And again, if you want to see people, that was a big inspiration for a lot of the films that I've made since, kind of watching men be like lured into an abandoned house and like submerged in the black goo of the void and like pop like balloons was deeply deeply formative in my brain.
I bet.
Okay, I'm absolutely checking this out.
It's so good.
Yeah. I also, in researching for sci-fi, I found out about Gorian lifestyles, which I had had seen the term. So there's basically this sci-fi writer, John Norman. He had this Gorian saga, which was like Gore was the fictional setting for a series of sword and planet novels. And it was started in like the 60s and went on, but it's basically like it's a series repeatedly depicting men abducting and physically and sexually brutalizing women who grow to enjoy their submissive state, and they have their like collared women, and all these like nerds like loved it, and now they like act it out. They like, you know, in the 90s, like there was like this Gorian subculture that was like, you know, it happened in the chat rooms, and then people were acting it out in real life. And it's this one BDSM writer, Michael Mackay, asserted that Gorian fiction may be found responsible for shaping or otherwise popularizing many of today's established BDSM protocols and tenets. I thought that to be kind of cool.
It kind of also reminds me a little bit of the Princess Leia in the gold bikini thing of like, you want to see somebody like collared and chained and like submissive and stuff. Yeah.
Submissive to a big gross monster. Fascinating.
I know.
Well, shall we take a quick break before we come back to talk about these specific films themselves?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So the first film we're going to talk about is naturally from Four Chambers. It's Hydra. It's starring Ray Lil Black. Starring Ray Lil Black. I was going to say Ray Lil Ray Black.
Yeah. Okay.
Ray Lil Hype Black. Lupa. Is it Lupa Vox?
Lupa Vo.
And Vex. Oh. And the guys. Yeah. I have to say that Lupa Vo and you are twins.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, so part of the reason why we made this film is because me and Lupa have a running joke that we have the same body.
Yeah.
Like, our torsos are the same. Our labia is the same. So we always had this kind of, like, running joke that we were, like, alien twin sisters. And so we kind of gestized this project because we were like, we want to be
alien,
like,
twins.
Alien twins.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it shows. Really comes across.
It really works. Like, the film fully opened and I was like, there's Vex. Wait a minute. Like, I actually think I saw Lupa first and was like, oh, that's not okay.
I know.
Okay,
I see it, you know. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And basically it's you and Lupa have these, like, long latex gloves on, and it feels like an experiment or like an abduction of this body. We don't get to know who he is. It's not important. Mm-hmm. What's important is these two aliens kind of exploring, being like, what does this do? You know, what does this dick do?
This film actually has almost more linear structure than some that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, it does build where we go from alien twins to, like, introducing a phallus to, like, sex machine stuff. Like, it builds, but it does the thing where it avoids being like, okay, we open on
this is the plot. Yeah.
An alien island, and they're here and there, you know, like, we don't need, like, dialogue and heavy story, because it's just kind of subtly implied and sort of toys with us and then kind of builds and moves. And I just so prefer that to being like, hello, pizza's here.
I think it's so easy to slip into, like, really cheesy tropes with stuff. And especially when you're doing something that's a little, like, you know, like an alien abduction could so easily be, like, really camp and cheese.
Oh,
and I love the camp and cheese, but, like, that's not what I was going for. I don't love it with my sex, I have to say. Like, with sex, I'm like, no, I want to be in it and I want to be, like, swept up in it. I want it to be, like, hot. Yeah. I'm not necessarily here for comedy fun times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we had to really tread carefully along that, like, along the line.
Yeah. Although, and cutting to the end here, one of our favorite things about Four Chambers videos is that there's always a, like, button at the end that you
like
have,
a blooper.
Like, bloop.
We love
that. You know, it's perfectly
it
placed at the end.
That, like,
just reminds us that this is production
still fun.
And these are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's essentially, you know, I feel like a lot of the films I make can be quite intense and quite serious. And often the atmosphere on set isn't necessarily massively intense or serious. It's the magic of cinema, you know, where you can really kind of create a story and an atmosphere through, like, the cinematography of it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of important to, like, show that the experience on set oftentimes it's, like, just pretty funny. And also, I love bloopers, you know, like 80s movies used to always come with the credits with a full set of bloopers. What happened to that?
Yeah, it's the best. I miss it too. I'll just watch bloopers on their own, but I digress.
Yeah.
Couple of things I also just, like, the elements of this that I really loved. I love that latex was incorporated. That felt like just a really smart way to incorporate another kink that feels like it lives in this world.
Yeah.
Similarly, like, especially at the top, there was this like breathiness that felt like alien noises. I was actually reminded of that ride at Disneyland where they like put air on the back of your neck.
Oh, sure.
Like, the creature is breathing on you, which is a weird thing, honestly. I like see what Disneyland was going for, but I was like, it's funny to have kids be like sprayed with water and have like air, like breath on their neck.
Scary.
But, like in hindsight, but I loved it in the way it was incorporated in this film.
Yeah. The lube also, the gloopy, like loopiness. Like aliens are never dry, you know? Like they're never dry. You watch any sci-fi and there's going to be some sort of slippery slickiness. And like, and even just in sci-fi in general, like it reminded me of The Matrix, you know, when like, when he comes out of the pink goo and like comes alive or whatever. It was like, it reminded me so much of that.
Well, that's it. Really interesting that that's the, you know, the note that you're giving me there is because actually, like, that's, again, one of those things that was, like, very formative to me as, like, I remember watching that as a teenager and being like, that's hot. Like, I can't explain why. I don't really understand it. That's
he's, hot. Like, naked in this goo, you know?
And he's, like, being birthed. And he's, like, this, like, pathetic kind of, like, embryo, you know, just discovering about the world, all of that stuff, like an experiment, gasping. I think the breath and the like the sound of stuff is so important because it's like that's actually, you know, so much of like what gives that like atmosphere of sex is breathing and like feeling connected to the breath. And so we always try and kind of like capture some of that like kind of panic, like little breathing stuff for this particular kind of thing, because you don't get to see the person's face. It's sort of meant to be kind of like dehumanizing in that way.
It was, it absolutely translated. I also love that there was a machine, because the fucking machine also felt like that is probing, you know, like that is a probe.
Literally probing.
And like that is, it just felt very like clinical and like a science experiment, you know, which I also, I really loved.
I also read and loved the whole blog post about the making of this. And the, I like the behind the scenes, like production of the stuff, like not while I'm watching it, but after the fact, I'm like, ooh, cool. Like this was one of those last minute, like, oh shit, if we get a sex machine right now, like Charlie, I think, I don't remember the, unfortunately, the person's full name, like came
Charlie.
Through on the fly.
So what I did was we had a shoot booked with Ray Lil Black, and you know, this is somebody who, you know, we were really stoked to get. She's somebody who was very hot on, you know, on Pornhub and stuff. She's and she was only in the UK for a small amount of time. And what happened was, what sometimes happens on porn sets is that a moratorium was called, which basically means that somebody in the testing system has tested positive for HIV, which means that all production stops and everyone gets tested. And this doesn't necessarily affect us in Europe, but we were conscious that we didn't want to be, you know, kind of like crossing boundaries with regards to that. So we had to kind of change the shoot idea at the last minute, which is essentially we weren't going to do anything with any kind of like fluid exchange. So that's where we were like, I'm going to wear latex gloves. And I was like, we could get a fucking machine, you know, because how do you fuck somebody without fucking somebody? And I just put on my social media, essentially, you know, does anybody have a fuck machine that I can borrow? You know, within like a 10-mile radius of me or whatever. And somebody came through, you know.
Wow.
And this person was very stoked because this fuck machine they'd bought with their disability aid from the government. And they were like, how incredible that, you know, my disability aid is going to go and be used in like in a porn film. And they were so gracious to lend it to us.
That's amazing.
And then afterwards, I loved it so much. Like, I love the mechanics of it. And it was actually, you know, it wasn't something that I was expecting to be as hot as it was. And so afterwards, I went and bought one for myself because I was like,
I love that ending.
It was actually at the start of the pandemic. I was like, you know what would be a great pandemic gift to myself? A fuck machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fitting.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
I also, in the blog post, I have to say, like, this is something that I keep thinking about ever since I read it, where you said sucking dick is something that's sometimes also put in the category of invading, subjugation and submission, something you do to serve someone else, which in no doubt is also good and also hot. But for me, it's often felt the opposite. Less mm-hmm. like being penetrated, more like penetrating. I think that's to do with teeth. And I can't stop thinking about it because I have also felt like I have never been like a submissive person when I'm sucking dick. Like, I feel like I'm the dominant one. Like,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And like, you're taking the most vulnerable, fleshy yes. part of somebody into your mouth.
Right.
Just centimeters away from being able to like do serious
chomp.
Damage
yes.
to them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Like, I own you. I got this uh-huh. in my mouth.
Exactly. And it's like one wrong move and I can do mm-hmm. whatever. Absolutely. It's that there's something about it. The, you know, it's for me, like sucking dick felt very much like a power move. I don't necessarily feel like that's, you know, always explored loads in the kind of traditional like porn dynamic of like sucking dick where it's all about kind of like someone fucking your throat. But I'm like, you know, for me, the teeth and the kind of suspense of it and the buildup mm-hmm. and the drama, like that's the way that I find it hottest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It came across in this too, I think, because it felt like it was like almost playing with the dick, you know, mm-hmm. like it was like experimenting with this thing. Like, what does this thing do? And like, mm-hmm. if I go like this, what happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The yeah. dick was the subject, was like being, and this is just one line I also pulled from the blog that Rachel essentially said, but this film was about invading and consuming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just really beautifully boiled down.
Yeah.
I love it.
I loved it. It was super hot. It just was like watching it. I was like, I know what these sensations feel like and I want them.
Yes.
I want them.
Aliens abduct me.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The final thing I'll say about this is that like substance stuff, like saliva and slime isn't really my thing. Like I'm a little bit like squeamish when it comes to that category. But this film made it hot. And I think mm-hmm. that's another testament to a great porn is when, as someone who's like inclined to be holding something at a distance or even repulsed by elements of something, seeing like being invited into the kink and mm-hmm. being like, ooh, yeah, actually I like get this and this is fucking hot. Like that is
so
choice.
Great. I think that's yeah. definitely like a part of the reason why I'm quite ambiguous in my descriptions of the films in terms of kind of like, I don't just necessarily kind of like list a bunch of like acts, you know, yeah. taking place, you know, it doesn't have like a timestamp. It doesn't have like, you know, we don't talk about necessarily performers like by kind of traditional porn categories.
Yeah.
And I think that's often because like for me, like the idea of somebody going in a little bit curious and kind mm-hmm. of like sort of experiencing it with like an open mind rather than necessarily going like, I think sometimes when we're watching porn, we can be quite dismissive of stuff being like, I'm not going to find that hot because it doesn't necessarily tick my like three keywords.
Right.
And actually mm-hmm. I think if you allow yourself to kind of look outside of your search terms often, mm-hmm. or just kind of like experience something, without that kind of rigid structure,
yeah.
I think it can like really, you know, open your mind and your kind of idea of sexuality as well. That's definitely happened for me for sure.
Oh, it happens mm-hmm. to us all the time. I mean,
literally what we're doing is looking outside of our search terms to other people's search terms.
Yeah. I'm like, wedgies? Who knew? Wrestling?
Ooh.
I didn't know, but like, I love it.
Big. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Should we talk about this other...
This other video? Yeah.
This other video. This is Secrets of Area 51, sci-fi female android fucks hard a young blonde.
This fucks is hard 3D. A young blonde.
<It's> beautiful.
Yeah.
She ever. And this is from 3D X Passion. Okay,
I'm going to say something nice at the beginning. I'm going to say, at least with things that are animated, we know that this wasn't in, you know, no boundaries were crossed. Like, yeah. There was no consent issues. Mm-hmm. So at least there is that.
Yeah. Know? I wanted to open that as well because it is a really interesting dynamic. And I'd be curious to hear from you, Vex, as a live action porn creator. Like, this is the kind of, just to give a visual to our listeners, this is the kind of porn that's like advertised to you on Pornhub when you're looking for something else if you're me.
Or it's like for your other video
just
to load.
Really like rhythmic, penetrative, massive cock or phallus or like dildo or like alien detached thing, whatever the case may be, into some like animated, hypersexualized woman. You know, like the way that it's animated is over exaggerated, very over the top. And then
the proportions are unreal.
The proportions are unsustainable from a physical perspective.
Right. The vulva is unreal. You know, all of it. Everything about this young hot blonde is incorrect and unreal.
The ass is made of rubber, looks like Gumby, like
her
very
back bends in ways that I never even dreamed of thinking about.
Yeah, I mean I there's something really nice about that in a way, in that, like, you know, animated porn and like that kind of stuff, it sort of like allows you to throw off the shackles of like any kind of idea of reality.
Yeah, physics.
You really get into the kind of physics. Yeah. And it like allows you to kind of really go into like the darkest, weirdest heart of like, what could fuck what, you know, like how can we do this?
Yeah. What could fuck what? Yeah.
Which is why I think sometimes when I'm like, wait, you spent all this time animating this thing and this is the kind of sex that you want to have?
Yeah. Right. Oh, okay. It was just so like, just like one rhythm.
Yeah.
Pounding away all throughout, just in different positions. And I was like, you know, this is the kind of porn that I would say I don't want someone young to look at and be like, this is what sex should be.
That was, I was really like, initially, okay, so you get some scene setting at the beginning, which is like, ooh, we see like a spooky sign going for like alien addiction. Exactly. And then, you know, it did a little scene setting and then this like, my nice thing I wanted to say about it was that the soundtrack, there was a bit of kind of pumping rhythmic like soundtrack at the beginning. And I was like, this is really setting me up for something that could be kind of hot. Like, I'm in this. Mm-hmm. I'm in Area 51. It's a restricted area. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then it was like, as soon as it cut to the fucking, it was like the soundtrack just went and you just got that, like, it was like all of the energy of the, oh, maybe this creepy hot thing. And then it was like, oh no, it's just someone going like, eh.
Yes. There's the repetitive. Like, no. Yes. It's the like, we get trapped immediately in the monotony of like the woman makes one sound that like, exactly. Like no build. And then we also get the same like repeat Foley of like, we all know the squish sound, that exact same shriek.
Yeah.
Just like, just that same exact sound on repeat. Mm-hmm. You know, like I
at like 90 beats per minute, you know.
Yes, I can like literally picture their editors just like squish, squish, moan, squish, moan, like just like all the way across. And I was like, like give us some build, give us something.
Yeah.
It felt like it was building to something that should have been hot, and then it was like if I was abducted by aliens and this was the kind of sex that I was being kind of like forced on me, I'd be fairly disappointed, honestly. Right. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, this was your opportunity. I was ready to leave Earth, you know? Yeah, it was going to be good.
How is this advanced extraterrestrial life? Uh-huh. Like, if this is what we, like, what the sex amounted to, like, what? How did you make it here, you know?
Yeah.
I did have to say that when she was getting like deep throated, I wanted to flip my screen around just to see, because I knew the physics were going to be wrong. And I was like, let me just see if it makes sense the other way. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. It absolutely didn't. I was like, that's not what a face is.
Yeah. Sometimes in those animations, you get the deep throating thing where the entire throat kind of like, when it's like a really big cock, like the entire throat like bulges as the cock goes in, where it's like, you can kind of see it going all the way down the body.
I was like, she just lost her jaw. Like, what happened?
Yeah, not only has she like unhinged her jaw, but she's also just like, her trachea has like lost all meaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
And like the thing is it could be hot because like I get that like being splayed out like that with like your legs splayed out, your arms splayed out, you know, that is a hot thing. Like we see it all the time in BDSM stuff and King stuff, but like that and like the idea of like being, you know, tortured by aliens is just like adds into the fantasy of it. But it just went nowhere.
It's like all the creativity went into the alien creature who we should make a point to describe.
Oh, like, sure.
We've got like a helmeted, sort of reminiscent of Bug, but very mechanical, very like there's machinery up top.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got like this like gray costume with like elaborate like shoulder pads sort of. And then massive tits.
Big fucking tits.
Gray tits, like gray tits, and then a phallus like you've never seen, you know, like
we're talking
like a chopped wood, like we've got a log attached to this alien creature. And then we've got these like sort of mechanical, maybe like prosthetic legs that kind of work
the little feet,
like little delicate, you know, like metal machinery coming down.
With those feet was that I was like, the minute that the alien came out, I was like, oh, that's the technology that runners in the Olympics, when they've lost a limb, that is the...
It's recognizable technology. It's arched metal that somehow springs. Has a little spring to it. And then we don't really do anything with this setup
because
we just get into position and then just squish, 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 squish.
Yeah, I'm like, you know... And the lighting of the whole space, I'm like, we're in this like aircraft hangar, but it's giving me like school disco kind of canteen lighting. I'm like, aliens are dark and creepy, and I want to be kind of like, you know, I want to be kind of like probed, and I want to be kind of like confused as to like, you know, what is this, a phallus? Is this a tentacle? Is this an arm?
Impress me with your technology, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
it was wild to say the least.
Pretty wild, yeah. And I do, you know, maybe someday we'll have 3DX passion on because I am like, how many hours goes into animating something like this? Because I can understand that it feels like you find, you know, you find like a frame that you can just repeat and then it turns into the exact.
And I couldn't make that. Like,
I know I couldn't either, but. I do have notes if they're willing to take them.
If they're curious.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like you've just got, you know, you have so much potential to do some stuff that's so creative and so kind of weird that I'm always a little disappointed if I'm like, oh, it's just a regular dick. Or, oh, it's like, you know, oh, of course. You know, she just kind of looks a bit like a blow-up doll, like slightly kind of computer-generated. And I'm like... you know, the bounds of reality have been removed. Like, let's do something weird.
Right, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, it was no Hydra, I'll tell you that.
Each to their own. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who really enjoyed it as well.
It's true. For me. That's a good point.
And there's probably better versions of the, like, very animated, well, not very, just fully animated, very, like, exaggerated physicality, alien sex stuff that we could find, and this just didn't quite hit the mark. But maybe someday.
Yeah. Well, it's maybe going to be the future of porn when you think about it, because you know we've got so much kind of like you think about ideas of like deep faking, where it's like you know, we have the technology now where essentially you can put any face on anybody in a kind of porn film where it's like, we're only going to see porn being kind of more CGI'd and, you know, more like computer generated in some way. And actually like the technology is getting better and better. And
to the extent that it's terrifying.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, it's
affecting our reality. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, where's that going to go next in the realm of kind of sex and porn? You know, this idea of like authenticity will kind of mean nothing, which is that, you know, potentially anyone could, you know, find their face like appearing online in a porn video. So potentially more and more kind of like 3D CGI'd kind of porn, especially with like all of the kind of internet censorship and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff you can do either like on Literotica or like, you know, in written porn that you could animate that you can't do in real life. So
that's what I'm vaguely hoping for, is that the pendulum is still swinging further and further into like doctored images and deep fakes and like, getting more and more synthetic, actually, and that eventually we as humanity will be like, come back.
Yeah.
We want the real shit, you know, like we want the grit.
I already am.
No, I am too, you know, but.
People talk about it a lot with like, you know, sex robots and, you know, will women become obsolete when sex robots are a thing? And I'm like, that just essentially, you know, I think people asking that question think too little of women.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the people who ask that question.
Because it's like, and I think the same with porn, which is that, you know, I actually think that, you know, just really having a huge variety of like really gritty, like real messy, kind of authentic expressions of like, you know, kind of everyday sex, and also these like very highly stylized, like fantastical depictions of sex, they can all exist in the porn canon, and we should be able to kind of like make and use them, you know, without deciding that one of them is like right and one of them is necessarily wrong. But if it kind of moves to the point where it's like, you can't show real sex on film anymore, you know, it has to be animated, or, you know, the censorship kind of like essentially removes that opportunity for like real diversity.
That's a really excellent point. I think we should end on that because it's an incredible landing.
Yeah.
Just well put. Before we go, however, will you very explicitly shout out for Chambers and tell people where to find your work, please?
Yes.
Absolutely. So my project's called Four Chambers. You can find it online at afourchamberedheart.com. And we are on Instagram at Four Chambers. We are on Twitter at Four Chambered because somebody very rudely took the Four Chambers Twitter. And I am online at Vex Tape, like sex tape. just hopefully coming out of this pandemic, going to make a lot more like hot, weird stuff for hopefully you guys to deem worthy to shout out.
Absolutely.
Podcast.
Absolutely. We can't
I have no doubt.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been so fun.
I know. So nice to meet you. Hopefully we get to meet you IRL very soon.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Porn. That's porn without the O. On Twitter at GOP the Podcast. On our website at girlsonporn.com. And also on our Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you want to throw us a little 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, drop your Instagram handle because we would love to tag you and thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.